Hey, greetings everyone. Brother James, don'tperish.com, John 424 Radio. Hey, I want to get back to our verse-by-verse Bible study. We're in Matthew chapter 19. We're going to finish up Matthew 19 today, starting at verse 23. You can go to don'tperish.com, look on the verse-by-verse tab, and catch up. Let's get back to Matthew 19, starting at verse 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. All right, so Jesus here declares how hard it is for a rich man to enter heaven. He's going to give us an example of that coming up in a few verses. We're also going to find out it's not impossible. Hard, but not impossible. That word hardly, duskalos, it means with difficulty. And why is that? Well, as we learned in the previous study to this, those who love money, rich people generally love money. You don't have to be rich to love money. Poor people can love money too. But rich people, because they have it, tend to get caught up in their money. They become basically idolaters, and they are often swept away in caring for it, trying to grow it, overseeing it, protecting their money. And this becomes a problem because we know, per Jesus Christ and the Sermon on the Mount, we cannot have two masters. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters, for he either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So money is a terrible, terrible master that will destroy you. Paul warns about that in the Epistle of Timothy. Be cautious about money and how you view it. The Bible is full of warnings about this. Verse 24. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. All right, so what is Jesus really saying here? Well, as you read this and study it out, there's only two possibilities that kind of make some sense. So some people say and believe in Jesus' day that camels that were used as pack animals had to pass through narrow passages in rocks called an eye of a needle. And so it was hard for them to get through with the loads that they were carrying. But from my research, there isn't a lot of evidence for this. It's kind of a urban legend in that area, but not a lot of evidence to say there was an eye of a needle that camels went through, and people just said, well, maybe that's what Jesus meant. I think Jesus means a real camel through a literal needle. And why would I say that? Well, he used something called an analogy using a camel before. Have you heard of this? Remember? Matthew 23:24. Ye blind guides which strain at a net and swallow a camel. Yeah. So he used a literal camel right there, talking about how they were being hypocrites. And Jesus uses something called hyperbole. I have an article on that at the teaching blog. It's an extreme statement to make a point. Kind of like people saying, I'm so hungry I could eat a horse. Something like that. And so I believe that's what Jesus meant here. He's known for using these type of statements. Do you remember in John 6 when he said, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood? Yeah, that's another hyperbole situation there that is not literal, but it's to prove a point. Verse 25, and when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? All right, so the disciples, just as, remember in the previous study, divorce and remarriage, Jesus was talking about, the disciples are thinking the worst. They seemingly have little faith that God can make a way for redemption in people in the most extreme situations. Instead, they toss out the salvation possibility of these people completely and just think of the worst. Let us not be like them with the Spirit in us. They didn't have the Holy Spirit at this time. Let us remember that redemption should be our number one goal and our number one thing on our mind as we're teaching people, preaching the gospel, trying to reach people. We serve a big God. we should think of redemption and know that it's possible for God to redeem them. And Jesus is about to set them straight right here in verse 26. So don't be like the disciples. Make sure you realize that God can do mighty things in the life of anyone. Verse 26, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. All right, Jesus shows us the short-sightedness of the disciples. They're fleshly, they're man-centered, but Christ says, takes it right to the Father. Jesus was always focused on the Father. He takes it back and says, with God all things are possible. Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So yeah, faith in God makes all things possible. Let's remember that, saints. That'll help us in our walk and our ways as we strive for the kingdom. Amen. Verse 27, then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? All right, so Peter, quite an interesting disciple, goes in to this topic, and he's comparing that rich young ruler that we talked about, that we read about, to them. Because see, the rich young ruler didn't leave anything, and he left Jesus, but they lost everything, and they're with Jesus. So Peter, in a sense, in his flesh, is saying, hey, we gave up everything. What's in this for us, Lord? That's what he's kind of saying here. They're looking for some kind of reward, since Jesus promised a reward, treasure in heaven, to that rich young ruler, remember? And Peter is saying, now, what do we get out of this, basically? Kind of a flesh-centered approach, but okay, he's thinking, what's our future going to be, maybe, right? Let's see what Jesus has to say in verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay, this is quite a promise. These faithful men, these disciples who held fast with Jesus Christ, they're going to be judges over Israel. Just think about that. These lowly fishermen are going to be judges over Israel. These verses, there's other verses in the scriptures that tell of judgment that saints are going to do right here. 1 Corinthians 6, 2 and 3. Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that ye shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? So, excuse me, Paul talks about that saints are going to be involved in great judgment. Jesus says you'll be judging Israel. Pretty amazing, isn't it? What God promises his faithful people. And this will make more sense when we get to the last verse in this study right here, okay? Let's go on to verse 29. And everyone that has forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Hey, do you see that faith in God is followed by an action, a do of forsaking these things? Yeah, faith and works. We talk about it all the time, right? You're seeing it right here. They have faith in God, they had to do something. And because they had faith in God and they did something, they're going to get a reward. If they just had faith in God and they didn't do nothing, they wouldn't get a reward. If they just did something without faith in God, they wouldn't get the reward. Faith and works go together to get the reward. That's all over God's word. And this verse has been very comforting for me and my wife, as we have lost much for the cause of Christ in our lives, career, family, friends, reputation, material things. But yet Christ has promised us a great reward. We're going to be expected to lose much for his cause if we're his people. This is the losing of the life that Jesus talked about in Matthew 10. If you think back, we studied that in the Matthew 10 study. Matthew 10, 36 through 39. And a man's foes shall be that of his own household. He that loveth his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. You know, I can't think of a better cause than losing your life for Jesus Christ. Think about that. King of kings, Lord of lords, he holds the keys to eternal life. What else would you want to lose everything for? This glorious Savior who came and made a way for us. Yeah, and he asks us to lose our life. So if we find our life here on this earth, that means we're living for ourselves. We got comfort, we got position, we got pride, popularity, whatever. We're going to lose it in the life to come. But if we lose our life here, and we're lowly, meek, humble, serving him, preaching the gospel, living it rightly, proclaiming him, living for him, looking for him, we're going to gain much eternal life and much in the life to come. Verse 30, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. All right, so this verse simply means on earth and then in heaven, things are going to be flipped around. So men that are on earth of great esteem will be made low and humble, and the low will be lifted up in heaven. Right? The lowly disciples that they persecuted and killed, they're going to judge Israel and judge the pride-filled, puffed-up religious leaders in the next life to come. Interesting thought, isn't it? The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. You know where else we see this? Coming up in Matthew 20, we're going to see it. And the example in the parable is how the workers all got the same pay no matter how long they worked. So what this is really showing us is if you bleed for 49 years as a born-again saint, or you bleed for 1 week as a born-again saint, you're all going to get, or both going to get, the reward of eternal life. It's the same reward. Now, there'll be other rewards given, the Bible hints to, but for our labor, we'll be rewarded. But eternal life by our faith, yeah, that's the best reward you could ever get. Matthew 20 also talks about when we get there about being a servant on earth. Jesus says you won't lord over. You'll be lowly. You want to be great, be a minister, be a servant. Because remember, Jesus is the example. He comes to earth. He says, I come to minister, not to be ministered to. And then when he goes to glory, he's lifted up. Same story for us. If we're lowly today, humble, meek, serving Christ, we're hated by the world, we give up our reputation, give up our life, give up our family, give up our lands, give up our careers, give up everything, and we're lowly, we're nothing to this world. In the kingdom of God, we're going to be lifted up because of what Christ has done. Isn't that glorious? Also, you can read Romans 11. The Jews were jealous. Why? They labored hard, and they didn't attain because of faith and sin. And then the Gentiles come in, and because of faith and their obedience, they attained the promise right away. The Jews weren't happy about that. They got very, very jealous. So it's just talking about how the Jews thought they were something, God's favored people. And then these Gentiles come in and, yeah, stirred them to jealousy. Also, when we get to Matthew 21, the publican and the Pharisee parable, remember that? Their roles will be switched. Yeah. As the publican makes it into heaven before the false religious man, Jesus says. The lifted up will be made low, and the lowly will be lifted up. Kind of like the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus, low, dogs licking his sores. He makes it to the kingdom of God. The rich man, he's suffering and being tormented in hell. You see how the first will be last and the last will be first. That's what Jesus is talking about. So saints and seekers, if you're listening, let's all be lowly here when you repent and you're born of God, seekers. Be lowly here. Serve God. Don't lift yourself up in pride. Don't be looking for status here. Don't be looking for popularity here and be man-pleasing here. No. And then, in the kingdom of God, then there's your chance to be lifted up with this glorious Savior. Live a lowly, humble, meek life today on earth. And then we have so much to look forward to in the kingdom to come. And it's all because of what Christ has done and our seeking him via the gospel. And God makes it possible through his word, through the Messiah, through the Spirit, through forgiveness, through grace, through repentance. It's all of him. And we're just joining with him in covenant to do our part for our Heavenly Father because of what Christ has done. So that finishes out Matthew 19. We'll be on to Matthew 20 coming up soon. I hope you're enjoying these studies. I'm really enjoying them. If you have any questions, you can email me. Would love to hear from you. I know people have sent comments that they're enjoying these studies. On to Matthew 20. God's word is so rich. Let us humble ourselves before the truth of God's word. Let us realize who we are. We're no better than anybody else in the world. I was telling a couple today I was witnessing to, we are no better than you, but we are different. We've been transformed by the Spirit of God and the Word of God, and we have a different destination because of that. And we want what's better for you too, as we called them to repentance and to come to Christ. We love preaching the gospel. We love going out into the world lifting up Christ. We love teaching God's word. We love making disciples. Hey, we love God, we love our neighbor, and we love all you brothers and sisters that we are united to. Hey, till next time, you go out and have a glorious day. Let me know how I can help you in the faith. May God be praised.